Canucks Central Thursday. Dan Riccio, Satyar Shah here in the Kintech studio. Another big edition of Canucks Central here with you. Kintech Footwear and Orthotics working together with you in step. This hour of Canucks Central is brought to you by your Lower Mainland Boston Pizza. Every Vancouver hockey game gets $5 pints of Molson Canadian or Coors Light, plus weekly prize giveaways all season long at your local Lower Mainland Boston Pizza. Got to give credit where it's due.
Yeah.
Bick Nizar basically hit the post today. We started right at 4.
Yeah, he was right on it.
So
you challenged him and he came through?
His producing team made sure he was on time.
Yeah, so collective effort.
I'm gonna give Arash the most creds for this.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Keeping his guy on time.
Yeah, see? Another Persian doing his work.
We're all about accountability here on Sportsnet 650, although I have zero of it. Yeah. It's Dan Riccio, Satyar Shah. All right, we got lots to get to today. Obviously, a busy show. Going to be a little bit longer of a show. Mm-hmm. We didn't put in enough overtime yesterday. We got to put in more today as the Canucks will play the San Jose Sharks at 7:30 today. So that means you get an extra half hour of us here before pregame starts at 6:30, and we'll get to talk with general manager of your Vancouver Canucks, Patrick Alvin.
Yeah, it's going to be good. He's coming up at 5:30, so we'll get into everything that has happened.
The wild week that was.
Yes.
If there's any more Pettersons that he can acquire.
Yeah, and also what else is to come.
Mm.
What else might they be looking to add to this roster?
Still a couple things maybe on the front burner for the Canucks GM. All right, let's get to it. It's the Open on Canucks Central.
Welcome to the Open.
Oh, that's your home. Are you too good for your home? Answer me!
The Open on Canucks Central. It's the latest on the Vancouver Canuck and our take on it. And the latest is the Canucks have now one big contract on their books that they've got to figure out. Of course, there's some others like Kevin Lankinen and Drew O'Connor, which seems to be something that they really want to get done. But yeah. Obviously, Brock Besser is the biggest one, considering his value, what it could be as a rental. And you have to make that decision before March 7th.
Yeah, you do. And I've maintained that as good as Brock is and as valuable as he can be, you're not in a position and you're not good enough yet as a roster to justify having him as your own rental.
Yeah. They've admitted publicly that they are in a retool.
Yeah. I mean, the only thing that can change that equation is if they do, let's say they find that other forward they're looking for, mm-hmm. let's say a center. And then your team is somewhat quote unquote complete, as in like you give this team the next chance.
Yeah.
If you add another guy, you're shoring up your defense. That could be the team you give a couple runs to see what they can do. So you might be one forward away from that. If you do add that player by the deadline, then maybe you might talk yourself into
mm-hmm.
keeping him for the rest of the season. But as it stands right now, without that addition, I just can't justify it.
Yeah, you're on the playoff bubble right now. The team to this point, although they've looked good since the moves last Friday, you know, it's still just two games with the new look Canucks. So kind of hard to make a full judgment on this small sample size of whether or not they'll be able to carry play, be a much more consistent team on the good end from what they've been for the first part of this season. And you know, people are constantly wondering what the number could be for Brock Besser. And I got into it with some people on Twitter today about Besser's value. And realistically, it's, as we've said numerous times, Besser, whatever you may think of him as a player, and if you are like sitting there and be like, I'd only pay him $6.8 million. That's my end point. It's like, okay, then you're letting Brock walk to free agency. And I think he and his agent would look at a $6.8 million a year offer and be insulted by it,
mm-hmm.
because it's essentially, yeah, it's a small raise from where he's currently at on an average annual value. But if you factor in percentage of the cap, where it's going and where it has been, and Brock has a 40 goal season to his name, to essentially tell the player that you're not deserving of a raise given what Brock's done the last couple of years, that would be pretty harsh. So if you're looking at it and you are going to pay Besser a little bit more than 8% of the cap, that's an $8 million player right there.
Yeah.
And that's at minimum what he can probably command on the open market as an unrestricted free agent this summer. So as we've continued to talk about here, Sat, to get Brock Dunn at under $8 million per is going to be a very difficult task, especially if you're unwilling to go to 8 years.
Yeah, I just don't see you doing it. You know, like I can see it. I can see a team-friendly deal that's like 7.75 over 8 or something if you go 8 years, which because that's that total money is going to be into the $60 million, over $60 million. So it's a lot of money. You're not talking about a low-ball offer, right? Like it's a comprehensive deal. Because to beat that, he would have to get close to $9 million over 7 years in free agency.
Mm.
So I think that's a fair deal if you do go to that level, close to it, so just slightly below 8. If you don't do that, how badly does Besser want to stay in Vancouver? I do think part of the issue here is the Canucks want to keep him at a number, and I think they want to see how badly he wants to stay.
Mm-hmm.
And the other aspect of it is, when you look at the free agent market for next year, like it's not great. We've talked about this over and over again. We talked about the defenseman yesterday, especially after Pettersson signed.
Yeah. They just did this with Marcus Pettersson. Part of Alvin's explanation of the trade when he spoke to media at the airport on Saturday, and Josh did a show with Jamie Dodge for Canuck Central.
Did a great job doing flight tracker.
The flight tracker was unbelievable. And Alvin essentially mentioned just how there isn't much other options in free agency. They really like Pettersson. And when you see a player like this, a top four defenseman, you got to go out and acquire. And now they've locked him into a deal. It's a similar issue for Besser. Like, yeah, there's Mikko Rantanen and Mitch Marner and some really nice names there right now that have yet to be signed to a contract. But as we've learned through history, a lot of times these superstar players don't actually make it to July 1st.
No, and Marner...
Jake Guentzel didn't make it to July 1st.
No, they
Tampa Bay traded for his rights, and they signed him before July 1st even came.
So we'll see what happens with Rantanen. If Rantanen gets there, I think that he's the interesting conversation.
Yeah.
But it's going to be a bidding war.
Yeah.
It's not like you can guarantee getting him. It'll be you and, what, at least 15 other teams that are going to be throwing as much money as possible at him.
If he gets to unrestricted free agency, he's getting $14
million. Yeah, and it's going to be...
per season.
And it's going to be a massive bidding war.
Yeah.
And maybe the Canucks can put together a compelling offer and a compelling situation to him, but it's no certainty they're going to be able to sign him, right?
Absolutely not.
And
the Canucks missed out on free agents last year as well.
Yeah, and Mitch Marner is making $11 million almost.
Mm-hmm.
He's probably looking for the same or more.
Mm-hmm.
So that's not going to be cheap. And does Mitch Marner, if he's not staying in Toronto, want to go to another Canadian market? Might be unlikely based on everything we've heard, right? So it's like we can talk about Marner and Rantanen all we want. It's a pipe dream.
Yeah.
So if you don't bring Besser back, the best you can do would be Ehlers in free agency. And again, no guarantee you get Ehlers because he might be the only realistic one you go after.
Yeah.
Nobody else is going to be a proven goal scorer. You have Jason Zucker, who's no proven goal scorer, maybe 20-some goals. But if you're looking to have somebody who can score 30 to 40, which is what you need, there's nobody that you can find in free agency that's replacing Besser. And if you're already looking to spend assets to acquire a center, which they are, or another impact forward, when you spend that and you can't find one in free agency, do you have any assets left to go and trade for another winger, right?
No.
You don't. So Lekkerimäki is going to play a big part in this. Hopefully he takes a step, but there's no guarantee he's going to be that guy anytime soon, right? Like maybe he is, but maybe it takes 2 years before he scores 30 goals, right? So they need to replace Besser's goals. And it's not an easy thing to do. So as much as it looks like Besser is gone,
mm-hmm.
I'm still not convinced there's not going to be at least another run at it here by the Canucks.
I love the idea of Jonathan Lekkerimäki being able to step into Brock Besser's shoes right away. But I'm going to bet that it's probably not going to happen that quickly.
Yeah.
That at least is where probabilities lie. I feel like if Lekkerimäki were to be in a full-time role next year, you'd see flashes. You'd also have some slumps that you're going to have to live through for a young player. And it might look okay at the end of the year, like, hey, ended up with 22 goals and 18 assists, and it was good for certain stretches. But, you know, that's living with a young player. And if you're trying to retool to be a contender as early as next year... Now, that's a lot of pressure to put on Jonathan Lekkerimäki to step into that kind of a role as early as next season. So, yeah, that is the succession plan to Brock Besser, but is it on the same timeline as where your window lands to be a competitive team with Quinn Hughes on such a valuable deal. I don't think it does.
And that's the other part of it. Now, we'll have Alvin on, and we'll talk about, you know, how important it is to do this retool as quickly as possible, how much time you have, especially with Quinn and his situation, because that's what hangs over all this. In the near term, the big elephant is Elias Pettersson and his game, right? And can he find his game and the big contract and all that? But the bigger issue looming above all of this is Quinn Hughes long term. So everything the Canucks do, as far as this retool goes, is in one way or another related to keeping Quinn Hughes here long term and building the type of team that he would want to stay and play and captain.
Yeah.
And how much can you wait? Because a loud Titans fan and others are texting in and saying, well, bank the money and wait. And I'm not against that. Like, in a vacuum, I'm not against those things at all. It's just, we see how quickly they move, where they make a trade, get an asset, flip it quickly. They already have a plan they want to execute. Are they going to wait just for something to pop up in a year? Or wait 2 years? Because that's what you have to do. Like, you can wait and be patient, right? Yeah. But that can be 6 months. That can be 18 months. You don't know.
They tried to be patient in other spots, and it hasn't worked out for them as much. You know, you think about Zadorov. They tried to play a patient game, try to get him at a number lower than what he was asking for, and then he ends up going to Boston. And then they were really up bleeps creek to start this season on defense. I think it's worked out better for them because I like Marcus Pettersson more than I do Nikita Zadorov. But, you know, it's tough. When you are trying to get to that level as a team, waiting for the perfect opportunity doesn't always materialize, and then you're in trouble. As much as keeping cap space open and allowing for you to have flexibility, we're entering an interesting era where the cap is going up so significantly over the next few years that I don't feel as though teams are going to be as hamstrung by the cap. There's going to be fewer cap casualties in the league than there have been certainly in recent years where the cap has been flat. So those opportunities are going to be fewer and farther between than they have been in recent years because there's just not as much of a cap crunch for so many teams around the league.
Yeah, and where it's going to be fascinating is the way the Canucks value Besser versus the reality of what else is available on the market and how willing they are to hold on to a player that might not be the ideal fit in terms of how management views things.
Yeah.
And it's fair. I see people pointing out, Tyler and others too, that a lot of Besser's success was the 1 year with JT last season. And we've heard Alvin himself say, and Rutherford both say, that a lot of the success Bo had when he had his big year before the Canucks traded him was playing with JT. And last year, Besser's success was also related to JT. You have some time before the deadline as well. Do you want to see if he can really get going offensively with Hedl? With Pettersson, it hasn't really worked. But, I mean, nothing's worked with Pettersson, so I don't know how much of that you put on Besser, for instance. But you also have to feel comfortable about his fit here. I know the coach likes Besser a lot because we talked about this, how good he is in practice. He's one of the standard setters now, and he plays well along the boards. He does all the right things. His details are solid, you know. His issue is the lack of foot speed.
Yeah.
Right? And sometimes when he doesn't have confidence, you can tell his game's not where it needs to be. And it seems a little, he has seemed a bit distracted recently, right? But his bottom line is still there. He's on pace for like 30 goals this season.
Yeah.
So it's not like you haven't been getting production, and it's been a very up and down weird season.
Honestly, sometimes I feel like the fan base underrates Brock Besser and how good he's been.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's fair. At the same time, I think it comes down to what the expectations were when he came in versus what he's become.
Yeah.
Which is, there's nothing wrong with the career Brock Besser's had, but he came in with the expectation of him being a franchise type winger, right? Went to the All-Star game, was the MVP, all those things that happened in his rookie season.
Saying that he's had one 40-goal season, facts only, you're correct. And he hasn't had a 30-goal season other than that, one 40-goal season. Facts only, you are correct. It's a little bit unfair. You know, Brock has had his rookie season. He had 29 goals in 62 games, had the unfortunate injury with the open door on the Cal Clutterbuck hit. The next season, he had 26 in 69 games. So again, was on pace for over 30. That North Division season, played all 56 games you know, in that North Division season. So you're looking at that and being like, oh, he was hurt. When you go look at his stat sheet and his box score at the back of his player card, and you're like, oh, he was hurt again, and he only had 23 and 56. No, he played every single game.
Yeah.
And he scored 23 goals. He had 7 goals in the playoffs last year. This is a guy that almost every single year of his career outside of 1920, which again was a shortened season due to the pandemic, and of course 22-23 when he had a really tough go and ended up on the trade block a little bit with the Canucks through everything that he was going through. Those are the only two seasons of his 8 full seasons in the NHL that he has not been on at least a 30-goal pace.
Yeah, and we've compared him to... Him and Travis Konecny were drafted the same year, same age,
yeah.
Both first-round picks. Travis Konecny signed an 8-year contract worth, what, 875 or 8, whatever it was?
Yeah.
It was over 8 million or 8 or 85, whatever it was. Besser has a better goals per game than
yeah.
Travis Konecny has.
It's a $70 million total value contract for Travis Konecny.
Yeah, so the scoring rates for Besser have been slightly better than Konechny's.
Yes.
Now, Konecny does a lot of things. He's fast. And
more well-rounded
100%,
player.
Right? But the statistical argument is there for Besser to command that type of contract. Now, I don't think he gets it from Vancouver or anybody else, but that's what we're talking about production-wise, at the very least, to your point about him being underrated. But does he fit ultimately how management wants to build the team? Because look at the players they've been going after.
Mm-hmm.
Speed, size combination. He does score goals, and ultimately goal scorers are tough to find. And that's why, again, like I don't think the Besser saga is done necessarily,
because mm-hmm.
as much as you have some reservations and as much as there are a lot of good arguments to be made
yeah.
about moving on, it's not that simple.
And it's not as simple like, oh, 7 and 7.25. Like that's my limit. It's like, well, he's worth more than that. So I don't know what to tell you.
Now, would he be? Well, that's the thing, though. I think we'll see if the Canucks get a favorable deal.
Yeah,
but you know, at some point you're the player. You also say, hey, they haven't gone to me yet. We're not moving forward. And
well,
you just say, you know,
didn't
what?
Didn't take them long to make the decision on Marcus Pettersson.
Yeah, exactly.
Right?
Now it's a bit different because with Pettersson too, I think with a deadline looming, just traded for him.
The asset
want,
spent.
I think that was a bit more immediacy on it. Whereas with Besser, it's been.
But they're driving a hard bargain with Besser.
They have. Oh, yeah.
You know, it's like Marcus Pettersson, what's your ask? And they pretty much worked it out pretty quickly. Whereas Besser, they're trying to squeeze him a little bit, or else the contract would be done already.
But the value of Besser's contract might be twice as much as Pettersson's.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
He signed for $33 million, and Besser might sign for $66.
Yeah, Besser's probably between... $55 and $62 million,
you know,
something in that range.
And again, like I don't think the organization is comfortable going to the $60+ million range.
Mm-hmm.
And is he willing to take a discount the way JT did, right? Everyone thought JT was going to get $9 million. That he, you know, coming off 99 points, and
yep.
This is a guy that's going to command a lot of money, and the Canucks have to give it to him. And he took like $1 million less than what he probably could have really pushed for. And he got 7 years, not 8.
Yeah. It's going to be an interesting negotiation. Canucks can continue to work on it through the Four Nations, but has been quiet on Besser. I will say, Alvin, last week, last Saturday at the airport with the with the Canucks and that first media availability, he did say that the Canucks would be comfortable using Besser as their own rental. That's where some of the speculation has been. We'll try to hammer out his thoughts on that after 5:30.
Yeah, and you know the cap is going up, right?
Mm-hmm.
G-Man makes the point from Abbotsford, like with the percentage of cap going up and all those things, like
yeah,
you know these things are going to come into the equation as well. And we'll
for Besser to be at the same percentage of the cap that he has been or that he signed for 3 years ago, that would be about 7.75, 7.8 million on the average annual value. So again, you're not giving him a raise. You're essentially just giving him the inflation raise.
Yeah, which I mean, again, like I think you can demand that, but it also comes down to how the market views you ultimately.
Yeah,
you know, and because Besser, even with the cap going up in free agency, and we talked about the lack of players around, is somebody really going to give him $9 million? By the time this season finishes, Reach, he might not hit 30 goals, right? Like, he's on pace for 30 on the dot over 82 games. He's missed 6 games already.
Yeah.
Or 7, however many he's missed, right? So if he finishes with 28 goals or 27 goals, is the team really giving him $9 million?
Yeah. Probably not. But still above eight.
Yeah.
Over 7 years.
7 years, yeah.
He'll still get the max term. Again, there's not a lot of free agents. There's not a lot of big scoring wingers that are available this summer. And there's going to be a lot of teams needing to spend money. Columbus, some of those teams near the bottom of the salary cap picture are going to have some money to spend and looking to add to their rosters. If Besser just wants to hit the home run, if he's going to hit free agency and not stay in Vancouver and he wants to hit the home run, I think eight, maybe 8.5 is going to be out there for him on the free agent market.
Yeah, it's going to be fascinating to see, right? Like, there aren't a ton of guys, but teams also have to be careful. And we know as much as the salary cap's gone up, teams also have internal caps.
Yeah.
So I'm really curious because, you know, we can sit here, like, even with Marcus Pedersen.
Not everybody's going to spend to 95 and a half.
Yeah. And even Marcus Pedersen, there was this real belief he was going to get over $6 million. You know, I remember debating people on social media about it, and we talked about it on text inbox, and, you know, I saw a lot of people projecting him getting over $6 million, and it's fair, like, based on the cap going up, and all those things are right. But is the market truly going to go to that level? That's going to be fascinating to watch.
All right. In the Canucks Central Roundup, Canucks and Sharks tonight, Vitek Vanacek going for the Sharks. Don't think he has a win in... couple of months for the Sharks. He hasn't played in a while either. Unsure
he's
on
due.
He's due. Yeah, so that means what? 42 save shutout for Vitek Vanacek
yes.
tonight. Well, that would also like mean the Canucks got 42 shots on goal, which is also quite unlikely in this equation. Unsure on the Canucks goalie. Could be Kevin Lankinen. Could be Thatcher Demko. Covered all my bases there. Canucks will attempt to extend Drew O'Connor per Elliot Friedman. Were some other teams interested? Vegas, one of those teams that was interested in Drew O'Connor's services. So he and his agent already know that there will be interest in him in the summer. But I do think, you know, there's a limit to what teams would be willing to spend on a player with his track record.
Yeah. Is he a guy who's going to get north of $2 million?
Yeah.
And how much more? But it was interesting to hear from Elliot that there are a number of teams interested. So could that drive the price up if he does get to free agency? Ultimately, because he's coming off last year where he had 33 points and 16 goals, and if he, you know, finishes strong this year, he might be in line to get kind of what Danton Heinen got.
Yeah. Elliot also suggesting that Calgary might have interest in Carson Soucy. He's a native of Viking, Alberta. And if you look at their decor, it kind of makes sense. They have, obviously, Rasmus Anderson and Mackenzie Weegar, but don't have a lot of sure bets beyond that. So I could see why they might have interest in maybe a cheap bet and settle it in for this year and next for a continuing to build team.
Yeah, and going back to Drew O'Connor, if you want to keep Drew O'Connor and also maybe keep Besser and also add that other forward, you need to shed, we talked about this yesterday on the Pedersen emergency show, you need to shed about $3
million. Yeah.
That's where the Soucy thing comes in. So if you move Soucy, that gives you the money to sign Drew O'Connor, sign Besser if you want, add another center, and if you really want, you can also sign Lankinen.
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy what another $3 million can kind of do for you here.
Gives
right?
you a lot more flexibility in this equation. And finally, the Athletic model projecting Elias Pettersson to return $12 million value through the rest of his contract.
Well, let's hope.
Let's hope. Yeah.
Projections don't mean anything to me, right? Yeah. And I'm not, and again, like, I'm a big Pettersson. I believe his game is going to turn around eventually, but it's been a long time. So it's like, let's see, you know, these are just projections. We just need to see him play better. That's all. Is he going to play better this year or not?
Yeah. Let's hope so.
Let's hope so.
A little
bit.
Maybe.
Maybe not.
Let's hope. Let's hope. How about that?
Well, that's all I got. What else do you have?
That's it. Landon Ferraro is going to join us, Canucks analyst. We'll see what he's hoping for with this Canucks team as we move forward. Two more games before the break. We'll get Landon Ferraro's take on the newbies and more next on Canucks Central.
The most opinionated Canucks show out there, Canucks Talk with Jamie Dodd and Thomas Drance. Be sure to subscribe on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.